You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's podcast episode truly might end up being my favorite Locked On Kings podcast that I've ever done. It's certainly one of the most powerful podcasts that I've ever done, as I'm going to be joined by ABC10's Lena Washington. She does such a phenomenal job covering the Sacramento Kings, covering Sacramento and really Northern California sports. But if you're familiar with Lena, you'll know that she's dealt with some personal tragedy due to COVID-19. So she's going to provide us with a perspective that we've never had before. Certainly a perspective that I have not had and I have not experienced. I had such a great conversation with her. It was only supposed to be about 15, 20 minutes. We ended up going about 45 minutes, and you'll want to catch every single second of it. She talks about what it's like to be a black woman in sports media, all of the great stuff that she's done through Boards for Change here in our Sacramento community, how she's partnered with the Sacramento Kings and also the Sacramento Republic FC. So today's podcast is going to be different. We're still going to talk Kings. It's still going to be sports focused to some extent. There's some sports news and conversation at the beginning of the interview. But even if you're tired of everything that is going on in our world, even if it makes you uncomfortable, I almost beg you to listen to this conversation here today. Listen to Lena. Ignore me. Just hear what she has to say and how strong she is for all of the work that she has done over the past few months, and how I can't even begin to tell you how fortunate we are to have her here on today's Locked On Kings podcast. So sit back, relax, get ready to really think, feel, and hopefully enjoy my conversation with Lena Washington on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. This is my sixth season covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I'll say it before, and I'll say it again. Sacramento is very, very fortunate to have the media members that it does here, covering the Kings, covering sports, just covering the city and Northern California in general. And I love the people that I get to interact with, the people that I get to call colleagues, that I get to work with and see consistently during a sports season. And Lena Washington from ABC 10 is one of my favorite people that I get to see and get to talk to. I admire her. I look up to her for so many reasons, a lot of which you will learn about in this conversation today. But again, please stick around, listen to all of it. It will make you uncomfortable. It might make you emotional, but I think you need to hear it. Also, some great talk about your Sacramento Kings. So, quick pause. When we come back, you will be hearing my conversation with Lena Washington. It's a long one. It's going to dominate the podcast here today, but I think you need to hear it. Before we get to that, though, I want to take the time to thank our fantastic sponsor of today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, Pacifica, XT5, it is now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things, like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based off of what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Happy to be joined for the first time ever here on the Locked On Kings podcast. And I feel ashamed for saying that because she just celebrated her 3-year anniversary here in Sacramento. It's ABC 10's Lena Washington. She does a fantastic job working with Sean Cunningham, who you've heard many times on this podcast, covering the Sacramento Kings, covering Sacramento sports, even going all the way to Super Bowl to cover the San Francisco 49ers. She's covered Golden State Warriors in the finals. So this woman right here, she knows her sports, and I could be not be more excited to be able to talk to her here today on Locked On Kings. Lena, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you are doing well through all this madness that is going on.
Oh my gosh, that intro is making me feel great right now with everything that's going on. Thank you for having me. I'm humbled and honored and glad to always hear your voice in every Zoom media availability that we've had with the Kings in the last week or so. Good to be back kind of into some kind of swing of things.
Right.
Definitely not normal, but hey, we saw live sports here in California on Monday with Sac Republic, and we're just days away from Major League Baseball and the NBA getting back in action. So yeah, it's been a wild kind of 4 months for everyone. And yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
It's exciting to say the least that sports are back. Whether or not it's a good thing that sports are back, we'll still have to kind of wait and see. And I know that's up for debate and up for interpretation, but you brought up already the Zoom calls that we've had with the Sacramento Kings. In fact, we just got off of one a few minutes ago. Unfortunately, because of cleaning responsibilities and things like that, we were only able to get Luke Walton today. But Lena, he said some interesting things, talking first off about the importance of Harrison Barnes and the preparation that the Kings are putting together right now of not having Barnes at all, even though they're hopeful that he will join the team before the season starts. And Walton talked a lot about Barnes's importance, how hard he is to replace. And we've heard a lot of the possibility of the Kings going small and using Harrison Barnes at the four. I wanted to get your opinion overall on Harrison Barnes's importance to this Sacramento Kings team, what you've seen from him throughout this first full season with the team.
Yeah, I feel like on and off the court, in the locker room, he's been a tremendous addition to this team. Again, we have a combination of vets, we have young guys, some of them who've missed out on opportunities because of injuries. But I think having somebody like Harrison available to step in and again, kind of display a level of professionalism that these guys could definitely use when they are trying to figure out their identity, not just with the Kings, but as an NBA player as they make that transition. But he's been a valuable member of this team since he got here last season, but they are preparing as if he won't be available. Of course, they're hoping that he can be. He is in Sacramento. We did learn that Alex Len has joined the team, but he is still undergoing the NBA protocol to integrate himself back into socializing and playing with his teammates. And as we've learned, Jabari Parker and Buddy Hield are still being limited in practices as they are reincorporated after their positive tests. But I think that they're going to wait if they have to, and if he comes back in the middle of their 8-game stretch, if they somehow make it to the playoffs, he will be there hopefully. And I think they're still wishful thinking that in the safety of the bubble that everyone will be protected. So it's just a matter of Harrison passing the protocols, the negative tests to get out here to Orlando, I should say, and move forward with his team.
It's hard to imagine someone who is paid as much as the Kings paid Harrison Barnes could be considered underrated. Some may even call him overrated to some extent, but I personally feel that Harrison Barnes, at least his fit with this team and the role that he has with this team, does make him a little underrated. Do you agree with that?
I think he's been praised for his leadership and his talents, at least to this team, since he arrived, and especially under Luke Walton. And I think that, whether he's underrated in the scope of the NBA, I don't really know. I think that he's a well-respected guy in the league, but I think that his ability to take this team to where it needs to be in these eight games is definitely, you know, something that maybe people overlook. He was part of this stretch of, you know, however many weeks leading up to the shutdown on March 11th that the Kings were contesting for the eighth seed. And had they not run into this four-month stretch without games, who knows what could have happened with the momentum they were building during that time. And Harrison Barnes was a huge part of that.
More good news that we've heard from Luke Walton over the past couple of days is the involvement of Marvin Bagley in practice, which, I mean, it's been so long since Marvin's been healthy consistently. I imagine that's got to be great for Walton to be able to see him working hard every day. And because of Alex Len having COVID-19, because of Rashawn Holmes breaking the bubble, it's Marvin Bagley right now that's been getting all these reps in Sacramento. I also asked Walton a couple of days ago about Bagley's position. He says he's been spending most of his time at the five. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, Lena. Do you see Marvin Bagley as more of a five, more of a four, a hybrid? Walton even mentioned today he could play positionless basketball, although I think we're still years away from that. Where are you at with Marvin Bagley's, I guess, game and fit with this team?
Well, I think he's more of a five with this team, and it's great to hear that he and Harry Giles are getting valuable reps, and they say they're moving good. They look healthy out on the floor. And it's good to see that they're getting some touches since they've been, both of them respectively, have missed valuable time in this early stages of their development. So it's good to hear that Marvin's getting all the reps, if not a lot. And Kent Bazemore even mentioned this is his first time really even getting to play with Marvin. So to have that connection, that chemistry on the court right now is leading up to their scrimmages is important. But I think Marvin has always said that, you know, he can play the four or the five. He understands that his value will be more in his flexibility, I should say, on the floor. And he's definitely been working on that, right? He's been shooting with Bogey and Buddy in the gym for months leading up to the shutdown. And I think that he's just wanting to see some kind of action wherever he can be valuable to this team. And as long as he's healthy, I think he's up for it. But yes, Luke Walton would like to see him go positionless, as we heard today. So I'm sure that that's something that they're working on. But I think in terms of where this team is right now, he would be a necessary body at the five, considering what could happen in the future, even with the protocols and what happens moving forward with Rashawn Holmes and Alex Len.
Earlier this week, we got the bad news about De'Aaron Fox once again spraining his left ankle. Now there's hope behind his quick return. It's certainly not as severe as the grade 3 ankle sprain earlier on in the year that held him out for 17 games. But I made the comment on KHDK and here on the podcast that I imagine there's been some point for Luke Walton where he's been maybe alone in a room or alone in his office and he's punched a hole in his wall with just the bad luck that the Kings have dealt with injuries this season. And completely healthy, who knows how good they would be. Maybe they would be in the Grizzlies' position, maybe not. We'll never know. And I know a lot of Kings fans don't want to hear excuses, but the injury issues for the Kings this year have been a very legitimate excuse that they've had to battle through. In all your time covering sports and your career, have you seen or heard of a team or organization having as bad of luck injury-wise and just health-wise as the Kings have had over the past, like, 12 months?
Probably not. I gotta say, I mean, I might be, you know, it might be recency bias, but you think about just the fact that, you know, I was in the locker room in Phoenix at the season opener with Marvin Bagley wrapped with his hand wrapped with ice. So you already knew from the jump, literally, that they were going to be going through some things. Then De'Aaron gets hurt. Rashawn misses time. And now we see just with the unknown that lies ahead with the bubble and the borders. And we even heard Luke Walton say, like, it's so easy to not know where you can and can't go in the bubble that you cross over from a line of grass to the sidewalk and suddenly you're out for 10 days or however long you have to isolate because you violated that protocol. And it's, of course, to keep everyone safe. But I mean, golly, in the last even 6 weeks with the four players testing positive and Rashawn Holmes and now De'Aaron getting hurt and just the fact that, you know, De'Aaron is the guy that makes this team go. I mean, he is the one that you need to keep that pace that kept you in the running for the eighth seed and made people take notice in the season early on. But it's just been one thing after another after another. And I'm sure that they are wishing that none of this was happening right now, but that's what they were dealt with. And I think if they can somehow pull this off, it'll be even more of a feather in the cap of Luke Walton and his staff and the guys that Vlade Divac brought onto this team, because as we've heard, it's the guys who are going to take this seriously, who are going to succeed. And I think if they can buckle down and avoid the injury bug biting again, they'll have a fighting chance to make some noise.
Yeah, Walton said it's all about who can handle the chaos the best in this bubble. Kent Bazemore, I think, put it excellently before he even left Sacramento, saying it's not about who the best team is. It's just about who can outlast everybody else, which is kind of a survivor way of looking at this this NBA bubble. But today, Lena, I asked Coach Walton for his opinion. I was going to ask Marvin Bagley about it, too. On the term injury prone, I personally hate this term. I think it's way too overutilized and it's unfair to label players as injury prone. Even players like veteran Chris Paul, who's missed so much playoff time because of just freak injuries that have happened. But it's a term that I've already heard used with Marvin Bagley, even though he has not suffered the same injury twice. And now that De'Aaron Fox has suffered the same injury twice, it's a term I'm starting to hear about. What if De'Aaron Fox has ankle issues for the rest of his career, and how can that help him? Is De'Aaron Fox injury prone? I personally hate it. What is your term or your opinion on the term injury prone? Do you feel it's overused? And in your mind, is there any reason to be concerned about Bagley and Fox's careers at this point?
I don't think there's need to be concerned about either of their careers. They're both young. They're both healthy. And as we've heard, Marvin's moving well. I mean, he doesn't have pain in his foot anymore. And injuries are part of the game. I mean, it's a blessing to not have to deal with injuries if you're one of those few players in the league who hasn't or has, you know, missed time just because of something that was nagging you. But I don't agree with the term injury prone, especially when it's a guy who's, you know, less than 5 years into their career, right? If it was someone who, you know, had a string and a history, you know, upwards, I think, of maybe 10 years, right? I would maybe say that would be a more appropriate way to use that. But, you know, I don't think they're injury prone. As you mentioned, it hasn't been a recurring injury with Marvin Bagley, at least in this season. It was just an injury that was not healing properly, perhaps, or it just they were being careful. And who knows, these last 4 months have been somewhat of a blessing in disguise for some of these guys to heal up and get their bodies right and do whatever they needed to do without the taxing grind of the season, especially in the last 30 games that they were about to embark on trying to make this playoff push. So I don't think they're injury prone. I think that maybe it's just a matter of getting their NBA bodies, fitting into their NBA bodies, you know, gaining weight, whatever it is. But I would ease up on labeling De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley injury prone if I were a fan or anybody else in the media. Let's steer away from that.
Sounds good to me. Well, before I steal the conversation away from basketball, I want to sneak in one more thing because you are from Phoenix. You're from Arizona, so you know the Suns organization very well. I actually, a couple days ago, spoke with a media member in Phoenix about that team. I personally have the opinion that if they're worried about players testing positive and trying to contain the bubble, that the less people you can have in the bubble, the better. So I am open to the idea, although I think it's too late now, that the Phoenix Suns, who were added basically to this bubble to make sure that there were an even amount of teams, and the Washington Wizards, who are now without both John Wall and Bradley Beal, I'm open to the idea of the NBA just sending them home and saying, we'll do 20 teams, it'll be easier that way. But you have an understanding of this Phoenix team, you have an understanding of the Phoenix market, and I'm not trying to disrespect where Phoenix is at, because not only do they have a star like Devin Booker, they have young players like DeAndre Ayton that need the reps and need the time. So in your opinion, kind of a brutal question, does Phoenix belong there? Do the Suns belong in the bubble, you feel?
Oh, it's not Bruno at all. No, they don't belong there. No, I think it would be wise to send them home. And again, we're a week into this thing. And I got to be honest with you, Matt. I don't have 100% confidence that all of these guys are going to follow the rules. And mm-hmm. even if Buddy Hield is joking about building a tunnel underneath the Walt Disney World Resort to escape like El Chapo and finding ways around the rules and whatnot, it's still, I'm sure, active mm-hmm. thoughts that are going on in these guys' heads, some of them. You know, who knows who they are, whatever it is, you know, but these guys are going to have to embark on the unknown for some of them for months, and they're not going to have their same vices and their same access to the things that they're used to. And it's going to be a challenge. So knowing this Phoenix Suns team, I don't know if all of them will have the same level of diligence when it comes to following the rules. As we saw, and as I discussed earlier, you can blame Kelly Oubre for Rashawn Holmes stepping outside the property line, because it was Tsunami Poppy who thought he knew the rules, and it turns out he did not. So yeah. Don't listen to Kelly Oubre when it comes to the rules of Postmates or any food delivery, that's for sure. But yeah, send them home. Send them back to Phoenix. I'm sure they would enjoy the rest of their off-season just fine.
Lena, I was debating doing this before the start of the interview, because it's taking the conversation to kind of an uncomfortable area and areas of discomfort. But I've discovered over the past few months, not just with COVID, but of course with all the social injustice that we've been seeing and dealing with, I have learned more in the last 4 months than I have learned in my entire time at school and probably the 25 years of my life before that, just about what has been happening in our world. And it's made me so uncomfortable, but that discomfort has, I feel, blossomed into moving on from ignorance and into understanding and compassion and wanting to be part of change. So kind of diving into this realm of discomfort, I feel so bad bringing it up, but there was the tragedy that your family dealt with of your father. And the reason why I do bring it up is because we've seen in the basketball realm, Karl-Anthony Towns losing his mother. And now we got the news that Zion has left the bubble for a family medical emergency. We don't know anything. Hopefully it's not nearly that bad. I want to bring this up because I would like, if you are open to speaking on those of us who haven't dealt with this tragedy, those of us who maybe haven't seen more than a person or two in their lives that they know come down with COVID-19, how should we handle, approach, or sympathize with the players, the athletes, the people that are making the tough decision to step away from their job or step away from the game? Kent Bazemore was very open and honest about how painful it was for him to leave his son and his very pregnant wife with his daughter on the way. And I mean, these are human beings. This is real life, what's going on right now. And sports is an escape for a lot of us. And I'm guilty of that, loving sports to take me away from the real world. But now you can't separate the two anymore. So do you mind speaking on a little bit of how fans should approach and maybe appreciate the sacrifices that these players are making and them even making the tough decision to step away from the game in order to take care of themselves and their families?
Yeah, you know, for people who might not have, who don't follow me or don't know, you know, what's happened, I lost my father in Arizona to COVID-19 in mid-June. He had returned to work at an Arizona casino, which turns out is open 24 hours now, in case anybody was wondering. He returned to work to maintain his medical benefits, his life insurance. He was a diabetic. So I begged and pleaded with him not to return to work when the casinos opened in Arizona back on May 15th. And then within a month, he was gone. Mm-hmm. So in that time, I've had a totally different perspective, and I'm reevaluating a lot of things in life and looking at things through a different lens. And, you know, I even just sharing that and people that work in this market and cover sports with us, you know, that made it real for them.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a real thing to them, you know, because it didn't affect them. They didn't know anybody who was impacted by this, and now they do.
Lena, I'll be honest, it did for me. It made it real for me. It truly did, because I've been very fortunate to have avoided it for the most part. So it made it very real for me.
Yeah. And it, you know, up until that point, I hadn't known anybody. I'd heard of people who had known people maybe, but I didn't personally know anybody who was dealing with it. And it turns out it took my dad's life. He was a football player with Notre Dame. He won a national championship when they played Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, you know, gosh, 57 years ago at this point, I think. He was, gosh, the best guy. But, you know, when you think about what these players are having to leave behind, and as even we look at in Major League Baseball, Buster Posey had been on the fence, you know, publicly about committing. And turns out he and his wife had adopted what we know now to be premature twins. And he has opted out of the season because there's just so much on the line for both himself and his wife and his now two daughters. And for these guys to, again, be away from their family. Yes, they go on road trips and they'll be away, but they'll still get to come back within a week and likely see their family, or they will have family available to come to the games or travel with them or have a section in the stands. And that's not going to be the case. They are truly sequestered. The best thing they can do is send videos, FaceTime, you know, thank goodness we have technology. But it's a challenge. It's a challenging task that everyone, you know, in making these decisions has to deal with, from the family element to even figuring out who's healthy enough to travel. I mean, we saw Alvin Gentry and Mike D'Antoni were kind of last minute, so to speak, additions to their traveling party. It sounds like, you know, there was concerns for these coaches and their staff as well, who need to make this thing go. And hopefully for some of these teams, make a playoff push or make a run at a championship. That's what this is all about for a lot of these guys. This is their outlet. This is their sanctuary, as we heard described in our Kings media availability this week. But I think that anybody who is not taking this seriously, I will tell you it is serious. My dad was a wonderful man, and I've gotten an outpouring of love from people who played football with him back in the 70s. They've gone to great lengths to find my address at the station. And, you know, I've had people email me who used to work with him 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, he died alone because we're not allowed to be in the hospital. Mm. We're not allowed to be around each other. I was, instead of celebrating him somehow socially distanced on Father's Day, we were celebrating his life, and I was, you know, filling a necklace to hold his ashes so that he'll be with me in some way, because I couldn't be with him in his final moments. And it's as simple as someone who was in line at the casino not wearing a mask, which he told me 80% of those people were not. And, you know, we're hearing similar stories here in Sacramento with Thunder Valley Casino being in the same being in the same boat, where people are fearing for their lives. Employees are coming forward, you know, disguising their identity for fear of retribution. But, you know, this virus isn't going to go away. These are real people who are at risk, who are, you know, having to make literally life and death decisions about being able to afford their rent, being able to get their insulin, being able to feed their families. And that's exactly what these guys are having to make that decision. And we got to trust and have confidence in Adam Silver and the NBA that all of the measures they've taken will keep everybody involved, media members, safe. And we haven't heard anything happening within the bubble, but we're, again, a week into this thing, and it's going to go on for a couple months if it goes over well. And time will tell.
Lena, you're a warrior in so many ways. Thank you so much for speaking openly about that. I want to transition from one uncomfortable topic to another, and another thing that I don't know if you've dealt with personally, but probably have by proxy, this ugly story. This has nothing to do with basketball. This has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings, but I think it's important to discuss while I have you here, and important for us all to learn. This very ugly story that's happening in Washington right now with the Washington football team. and the 15 women that have come forward and spoken about the harassment that they've faced. And I know this is nothing specific to them. This happens a lot for women in the sports industry and women in media. Sacramento is very fortunate to have a lot of amazing women working in media and working in sports, from yourself to Michelle Dapper, Morgan Reagan. There's just so many great women that work in sports and are around the Kings consistently and specifically here in Sacramento. But I was fortunate enough to be raised by women. I was raised by my mom in a single family. Father was not really part of my life, and the majority of my family are women, and it's given me such a great perspective that I truly cherish and love to this day. So that kind of treatment, harassment, misconduct, looking at a woman as somehow lesser in any realm, but especially professional sports, is just such a foreign and stupid concept to me. And so when I see women advancing to higher positions in sports and in media, and I see Carol Lawson, for example, going from media to assistant coach with the Boston Celtics to now the head coach at Duke, my gut reaction isn't like I've seen so many people saying, oh, they're just doing this for the PR. My reaction is, no, these women are in these positions because they deserve to be, and they're better than most men, if not all men, in those positions. So I wanted to get kind of your opinion on everything going on, your thoughts on everything going on. I hope that you haven't ever had to deal with this, and I apologize on behalf of all men if you have, but maybe something you could teach me, something you could teach us listeners about the strong, powerful, and amazing women in our industry that continue to fight through these battles, even though it's 20 freaking 20.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the middle of reading the incredibly brave and powerful piece written by Rhiannon Walker from The Athletic, who covers the Washington football team, who is one of the two media women, women in media, I should say, covering the team, who came forward in that Washington Post piece that came out yesterday. But I'm still going through it, but I truly even just have chills right now, just even saying that out loud for myself. Yeah. And I'm reading this as somebody who follows Rhiannon and respects her work so much. She is such a talented journalist, and to hear this disgusting account of an exchange that she had with someone who worked within the team, the director of pro personnel, going from a conversation about talking about her hair, which can already be a touchy subject when directed to Black women, but the fact that she is saying that it was not uncommon for them to comment on how nice her hair looked, she clearly was, you know, able to draw that line. But this individual, who she trusted to do her job, crossed this line repeatedly in public in front of her colleagues, embarrassed her to a level that I can't even fathom. I have been blessed that I have not been put in this position. I'm thankful that I can say with confidence, no one from the Sacramento Kings organization has made me personally feel uncomfortable. Mm. But that is not a shared experience among many people throughout the industry, many women throughout the industry. And these are just two who came forward, and they have everything to lose by doing this. And it's documented. I mean, I can't even think of anyone who's been so brave to come forward who says that they don't understand or haven't heard of the repercussions, the fallback, the blowback, or whatever they might experience in direct negative response to them coming forward. You know, the fact that this woman has to, or any woman has to recount this kind of behavior and this kind of humiliating experience. She, Rhiannon Walker, in this piece, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, please do, because this is the kind of content you get. And this is important for especially sports fans right now to read and understand that even though you might think that, you know, things are diverse and things are equal and women are having the same seat at the table, especially when it comes to sports, that's not the case. I've had several conversations with my colleagues where, I mean, if we want to get real, it's simple as, oh, because you have another girl on the desk, you can't have another girl on the desk. Or because we have another Black or Latina girl, or Latinx person, in your sports department, we can't have another.
Wow.
I mean, I could go on and on about even just the level of kind of sexism, racism that kind of plays into the politics of who gets what jobs in media. I mean, it exists everywhere, right? But when you work in media and you have a responsibility to showcase a group of people or give these certain people a platform. I mean, the fact that The Ringer and Sports Illustrated came forward to admit that they are significantly lacking in any full-time Black reporters for predominantly Black sports. I mean, that could be men or women.
Yeah.
I know I had a Zoom call with a number of Black reporters and one of the young women, she goes by Shake. She's an MLB writer. I'm pretty sure she said that she's the only Black female, like the only Black woman writing for baseball.
Wow.
Which wouldn't be surprising to me, because in former, you know, in past NABJ conferences and working with the sports task force, the lack of Black baseball writers has been a topic of conversation for years. So that's a whole nother conversation, but what's going on with the Washington football team and that organization as a whole, I don't even know where to begin, but this is just another level of disgusting behavior displayed by top to bottom, everyone in charge, anyone who knew, anyone who made jokes, anyone who, again, we say, you know, protect women. Well, do that then.
Yeah.
Don't just do it on Twitter. Don't just do it on the internet. If you know somebody who's saying these types of things about a reporter and you're that recipient of that conversation, it's up to you to hold that person accountable.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what kind of conversations my name has been thrown in or used in context, but I have not been a direct victim of sexual harassment in the workplace. I can't, again, say that that's been a similar experience from some of my colleagues in different markets even. But I just applaud the bravery of all of these women, the 15 who came forward in that piece. And I'm sure they're not the only ones. And again, if you could please subscribe to The Athletic so you can read Rhiannon Walker's piece recounting this awful, awful experience. It's worth your time. That will teach you enough about what it feels like to live with this, especially as a woman in sports, where the chips are already stacked against you in some degree. And even when it comes to being respected by someone with the team, that's too much of an ask, evidently, from what we've learned, at least in the last several days, about this football team and its behavior in-house.
Lena, you just said that you are fortunate enough to not have dealt with harassment in that way in the workplace or by the Sacramento Kings. And I think it's tragic in its own right that you have to say you're a fortunate one to say that. In fact, 100% of women, not just in sports, but period, should be able to say that. But I want to end. I've already taken up more time than I expected to, but I'm enjoying this conversation too much and I'm learning so much from you. But I want to end on a positive, because there is something that you have helped start and something that has become really a staple in this community, something that we saw at the Sacramento Republic match on Monday, and something that has just built so much momentum and I'm so proud to see and I've fallen in love with. And it's Boards for Change. And I would rather you explain more of what it is so it can be explained perfectly. But I mean, it's these artists that have created these amazing pieces. We're in a Zoom call right now, and there's a piece over Lena's shoulder. Is that a Board for Change piece? I mean, there's so many pieces like this. I found myself in the middle of the soccer match just staring at these pieces that were displayed in the stands. I mean, just powerful artwork that speaks volumes a lot more than something like myself on a microphone could ever say. But I'm very inspired by Boards for Change. I love what you've done. So can you explain a little bit of what it is, why it's important, and maybe the impact that you've seen it have, not just on this community, but maybe even on the Sacramento Kings and Sacramento sports?
Yeah, I mean, I am truly just overwhelmed in the best way possible by what has transpired with this little idea that, you know, a friend and I kind of had, gosh, 6 weeks ago. You know, what's been kind of wild about all of this is that I've been working on this passion project all while my father was battling COVID and in the hospital, ultimately passing. And so he never got to really see this come to life. I told him about it in one of our final conversations, but this is something that I could not even fathom reaching this scale, most recently becoming basically a partner now with Sacramento Republic FC. And from there, we have so many cool ideas and opportunities that we have in the works. But how it all started was my friend, Kimberly Prince, who is the owner of Nectar in Midtown Sacramento. She posted to her Instagram story during all the protests. And really, it was following the week of destruction that we saw in Sacramento following the death of George Floyd and just kind of the string of Black men and women being murdered in the streets and or in their homes. And she just asked for someone. She literally just put it up 6 minutes within me seeing it. I saw her asking for one artist to do something cool with her board, and maybe they could donate it or do something cool with it. So I shared it on my social channels. From there, she got a bunch of DMs from that. She wanted to pair up other businesses who wanted the same kind of vision for their storefronts. And from there, the ball just started rolling. But the timeline truly, Matt, was Kim posted this on a Thursday, or I should say she posted this on a Wednesday. And then we called for business owners on Thursday. We met to discuss, you know, how to move forward with another artist who Kim knew. Her name's Shannon O'Rourke. She goes by Shammy Buns Art on Instagram if you want to look her up. We all met together on a Friday, and by Saturday morning, which was the same morning as the big demonstration that we saw in Sacramento that Bobby Jackson, Doug Christie, a lot of members of the Kings were actually involved in down at Downtown Commons and Cesar Chavez Plaza. We wanted that visibility during that time and just to kind of capitalize on the moment I guess, frustration and creativity that everyone was harboring inside of them with everything that we were seeing going on. So by Saturday morning, we had artists deployed at different locations, different business owners stepped up. Honey Salon, which was one of our most popular, I guess, locations, and you saw it in the stands at Sacramento Republic FC. This was a tattoo artist named Jocelyn. She took this entire storefront and over the course of, I guess, 2 days maybe, turned it into a Pink Floyd The Wall-inspired album cover vision, right? But she made all these bricks by hand, and every single brick has a name of someone, a Black or woman or man who's been murdered by police, including Stephon Clark. And so that was probably our most impactful piece. But we have high school students. There's this one artist, her name's Caitlin Ewell. She's gonna be a swimmer at USC. She just graduated from Folsom High School. And she did three pieces for us, jumped into action as soon as she saw one post on Instagram. Someone tagged her in a tweet or tagged her in a post. And it was truly just the quintessential Sacramento community collaboration of people sharing and spreading the word and tagging people they knew and just wanting to donate their time and their talents. And all of these artists donated their time. They weren't paid. They knew they weren't going to get anything out of this than the gratification of knowing that they're beautifying their community. They're giving back in a way, because all of these pieces that you see in the stands and even behind me, they're going to be auctioned off for various charities or organizations, I should say, local Black youth organizations that amplify social, racial equality, education reform, educational opportunities. And we've raised so much money. We started at $2,000 on a GoFundMe, then we hit $10,000 within 3 days, and now we're approaching $14,000 of our $20,000 goal. And that's just the pure grassroots donation-based money that's been raised. We have a couple really cool ideas and collaborations that are in the works that could really take this to the next level and make it a more long-term thing. But again, this is just 6 weeks of people coming together, wanting to unify the community, beautify the community, and again, give back in some way. And I, like you said, I've been in Sacramento for 3 years, but this is really the first time I felt like Sacramento is somewhat of a home to me, that it feels like I'm seen and I'm valued in the community somehow. I know that, you know, I'm on TV and I talk sports, but it feels good to have some kind of fingerprint on this community that's embraced me and taught me so much and given me so many cool opportunities in just 3 years. So follow us on Voice for Change on Instagram and Twitter. And we have more information on SacRepublicFC.com. We're working on getting our website together, but from there at SacRepublicFC.com, you can access our auction portal. We'll be adding more pieces in the upcoming days and weeks that will be available, but we have close to 40 completed pieces. And for some of them, they're multiple boards. So I would say close to 60 or 70 actual boards. And I will say, I haven't worked out at all during stay-at-home orders or quarantine, whatever you want to call it, but lugging those things up the stands at Papa Murphy's Park in the Sacramento summer sun, that was enough for me. So shout out to Kevin Burdick, who's with Sac Republic's Community Investment. He's been our unsung hero in transporting and setting up and kind of getting this ball rolling with the team. And so we're so grateful to work with guys at the club like John Jacobs, Ben Gumpert, Todd Dunovit, Scott Moak has been our champion since day one with Boards for Change. So shout out to everyone at Republic FC, and you'll see hopefully more about Boards for Change on Sunday during their ESPN2 broadcast of their match against Reno.
Excellent. Great stuff. Listeners, I highly encourage you to consider supporting and checking out Boards for Change. If nothing else, just go and look at the pieces, look at the artwork, let it inspire you, and just listen and try and understand the messages that these pieces are conveying. Lena, I've taken way more time than intended, but you are so generous with
your time. We've had so much fun.
Absolutely. And you've spoken on some very real, powerful, painful things that you've had to deal with, things that you've experienced, and that means the world to me that you would consider opening up like that on this forum and in a conversation with me. I know a lot of people are trying to say the right things right now, but I've had these feelings about you, this appreciation, adoration for the work that you've done even before all of this started, but it's only strengthened it. I truly believe that you are a blessing to this community. What you've done, how you've made Sacramento your second home, how you've embraced this community over the last 3 years, you're damn good at your job on top of it. So thank you so much for who you are, for what you do, for inspiring me and for being a leader for change here. And that will never be forgotten and always be appreciated, at least by me and hopefully by these Locked On Kings listeners.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. And, you know, I'm thankful to work with guys like you who uplift all the women that we work with shoulder to shoulder. You know, it would have been every other game that we would be in a scrum together. And, you know, it's always good to feel respected, loved, appreciated. So thank you so much for your kind words. And yeah, I hope you and yours are doing well with all of this, man. It's strange times, but it seems like you're killing it out here with the podcast game, and congratulations on all the success.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's going to be even more successful now that you've joined it. And to be perfectly clear, Lena, you say we've lifted you and the women of Sacramento up in this in the media realm, and let's make sure it's known as well that you women, you make us better and you lift us up as well. And I don't think I would imagine everybody that is important, that matters, and actually has an IQ in Sacramento understands and appreciates what you all do and how you are not only one of us, and I use air quotes with that, but you make us all better. So thank you for everything you do, and thank you for being on the podcast today. Everybody, check out Lena's fantastic work with ABC10. Check out Boards for Change, and share this podcast, even if it's with someone who's not a Kings fan, someone who needs to hear this message, hear some of the things that Lena has said today. I really would appreciate it, and I know she would as well. Lena, it's an absolute pleasure. I can't wait to see you again, and hopefully someday we'll be back in the Golden One Center, getting back to what we do best and watching and talking basketball.
Yeah, well, I think we might be in the Golden One Center voting sooner than talking basketball, it seems like. But yeah, we will hopefully get back to what we knew as normalcy before March 11th. But until then, we got awesome content coming from Matt and KHTK's family all day, every day.
I meant what I said. Lena Washington is a blessing to Sacramento, a blessing to this community. She has suffered unimaginable pain through this COVID-19 situation, losing her father, and also the issues that she deals with as a woman in a quote-unquote man's world in media, but also as a black woman and dealing with all of the pain that many of us have truly become aware of during this the tragedy of George Floyd and all of the protests and the radical change, the necessary change that is happening throughout Sacramento. So Lena is such a hero to me, so important to this community. I could not be more proud of her. Listening to that interview back, I truly had some tears in my eyes at times, not of just sadness for what she's gone through, but more of just pride to call her a colleague and to call her someone that I admire, someone that I look up to, someone that I strive to be in this industry. And she still has so far to go in her career. She's a superstar. So please follow her, check out her work, see what she does. And if you feel compelled to, inspired to, reach out to her and let her know you heard her on this podcast and share your messages of appreciation and support for her. She's been getting a ton of them, but I know they help her. She's such a humble woman, and she deserves all of the praise and support that we can offer her. I really think this is my favorite Locked On Kings podcast episode that I've ever done. It certainly was the most moving for me, and I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I have. If you have, reach out to me. Let me know. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. I know you're going to want to respond to some of the stuff, even if it's the Kings conversation that we had at the beginning of the interview. Please reach out and talk to me. You can find me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Tweet me publicly there, or you can DM me privately, or email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I would love to hear from you. That does it for another week, and what a great way to end the week here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Looking forward to joining you once again next week as we get another step closer to the return of Kings basketball. The scrimmages are just over the horizon, and the games are, 14 days away or something like that now? It's coming up quickly, and we're getting really excited for it. Of course, we'll have all the coverage, all the buildup right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.